Ready.
Just in the middle of the field, 45, 50. Green grass in front of him, leaving Lions in his wake.
I am Jeff Joniak.
Blitz is on. Down he goes. Husker.
What was it like playing for Coach Ditka?
I don't want to answer any questions like that.
61 yards. A Sunday stroll for Justin Fields.
No way. 3-4-3.
And Pendera is Pendera is Pendera.
Now, Bears Etc. with the voices of the Chicago Bears, Jeff Joniak, Tom Fitton.
Welcome in, everybody. NFL Week 1, as your Bears begin the detailed work in preparing for Sunday's Soldier Field visit by the Green Bay Packers. This is Bears Etc. Episode 13, and we've never been more excited to talk about meaningful football. College football wet the beak over the Labor Day weekend. Man, I enjoyed that, Tom. I watch parts of so many games. We can talk about that as well. But overall, it's Packer week, so you should be in a bad mood.
Yeah, I am. You know, I'm a little instigated. I'm just ready to see everything that these guys are talking about at the microphone come to fruition, because there's new pieces in place. They've worked harder. There's guys that are getting stronger. There's guys that are faster. There are guys that are coming off the injury plague preseason that are ready to go in the regular season. So there's a lot of wait and see, but you really don't have time for that anymore. It's about let's see it. So, you know, I that's the part of me that's a little bit edgy, and I'm going to be that way. I was up at Hallis Hall super early this morning, and it kind of gets your goat going. And 3:25 start on a Sunday. That's unusual for us. This is a nationally televised audience. There's people all over the country that I talk to that are Bears fans, and they have access to it nowadays, whether they're listening to us on the podcast or they're getting ready to watch this game on TV next Sunday.
Yeah, and they hopefully will be listening to us, too, as well, on ESPN 1000 and the Bears Radio Network. I'm going to start this week. We're going to go the status from Hallis. The status from Hallis today, practice day after a three-day break, light, 7-on-7, individual. They'll put on the pads Wednesday, shells Thursday, helmets Friday. But I guess the big news, Jaquan Brisker tracking towards getting back on the field Wednesday and playing on Sunday.
Yeah, like I said last week, he is right there. He's progressing, right? And Wednesday is going to be a big day for him, but it looks on a positive side right now. So we're looking at that. He had really good workouts this weekend, and as did Eddie. So we're looking at both those guys in a positive way, and Wednesday will tell us more.
Listen, man, this tracking stuff has got to be in your rearview mirror. It's got to be about you're putting cleats on, full equipment, and you're ready to have a full practice on Wednesday. It's not limited reps. It's not ramping up. It's not looking, let's have a look at you. It's about Jaquan Brisker taking everything he said throughout the offseason and get it ready for Wednesday, a little bit more on Thursday, a little bit, you know, slower tempo on Friday, walk through Saturday, and come out of that locker room at 3:25 with, like you say, your hair on fire. Yeah.
Well, let's listen in. He was at the podium on Monday at Hallis Hall, very motivated to get back.
Just, you know, knowing that, you know, I got to be back, that I want to be back myself. You know, not a coach, not anybody else, but that I want to be back, you know, by Wednesday. So I'm just, you know, trying to work as hard as I can, you know, try to, you know, do what I can to get back, you know, make sure that I'm not pushing it too much, but make sure that I'm at least, you know, stretching it and, you know, doing a lot of different movements that I haven't a couple weeks ago. So just make sure, you know, that I'm getting back and that I'm on point, that I'll make sure that I feel good.
And here's Brisker hoping to pick up where he left off during training camp.
All pro camp, I'm telling you. Never seen it before, but I'm still going, you know, stay on that path, but I'm still going, you know, work my way in. But you know, I'm still, you know, still aiming for that, still aiming for that all pro, you know, practice, all pro, you know, game reps and things like that. So I just say I got a lot more stronger, you know. Before camp, I wasn't as strong as I am now, as fast as I am now. So I feel great. I'm not gonna lie.
And Tom, you're gonna love this bite. Listen to this one. Fueled up, boy, about the idea of playing the Packers at home because he missed that Week 13 loss, 28-19, with a thumb injury. Listen in, and then I want your reaction.
Yeah, it definitely does. I didn't get to play last year, the second game here in Chicago, so I didn't really get to feel the vibes. I wasn't even at the stadium. So, but now I can't, you know, I'm waiting, you know, I'm itching, you know, it's Packers week, so I know it's going to be live in the stadium, you know, fans everywhere, you know, it's going to be loud, you know, people hate Green Bay, I hate Green Bay, so I can't wait, you know, they didn't get to see me last year, they're going to get to see me this year, though.
All right, Brisker, I've said all along, was having an unbelievable camp, and I believe he's on the brink of having a special season. If he's healthy, stays healthy, he's going to have a special season. But did you feel the hatred from the Packers?
Listen, if he plays to his attitude, he's going to be one of the top safeties in the NFL. If he plays like his desire and the conversation has been out of him since the offseason has began, he's going to be an all pro. And I like the fact in his conversation, in his comments, he doesn't say Pro Bowl because that's a bunch of baloney. He says all pro. And that's what I want to hear out of a guy these days, because if you're getting that all pro designation, that means you're one of the top 2-3 players in the league at your position.
Eberflus is not yet settled on a number two. I'm sure he has. They're not going to say Tyson Bagent or Nathan Peterman. Where do you think they'll go here?
I don't care because I don't ever want to see number one leave the game. But, you know,
you're right.
No, listen, no offense to Peterman or Bagent, because both of these guys have worked hard throughout the entirety of the training camp. Bagent, he's new on the scene. He's burst onto the scene, unlike a lot of other people, because there was no expectations for him. Peterman's been around. He's been in some difficult system. He understands the NFL. He understands how to prepare and make sure you're in the right frame of mind to be in that backup role. So to me, it's all about number one. Let's not deny that. And if we have to go to that backup quarterback, then you better listen to us on the radio, because we're going to have a lot more to talk about than who's playing number two.
Good news. Chicago United Airlines is getting brand new planes with all the bells and whistles, like Bluetooth connectivity, screens at every seat, and room for everyone's roller bag. United, proud to fly the Chicago Bears, and you too. Sounds fantastic, right? More luxury for the Tom Thayer flights that he does take all over the world. All right. Matt Eberflus is asked a lot of questions now, and he will throughout the course of this week when he meets the media again, and so will defensive coordinator Alan Williams and every defensive player. How do you prepare for a different Packer quarterback here? Limited tape, and Eberflus points to what he always leans on, and that is scheme, style, and system. He's going to do his homework.
Yeah, you know, just know their style and the family and the system they come from, you know, so you can, you know what that style and that system has in their system. So, you know, they're going to do it. They did a lot of good things last year that were effective, and I'm sure they're going to keep doing those things. And we just look at it that way. And there's a lot of guys that are in the family that are in the system in the NFL, so you can look at a lot of different things that way. So, but that's what we do.
What do you recommend, Tom?
Listen, The system of the Green Bay Packers comes from the vision and the thinking process of the head coach. He's not going to divert from that because you have a new quarterback in place. Yeah, you may lessen your arsenal of offensive plays because you have a new quarterback and you want to see how he reacts week one of the regular season in live fire from the first quarter to the fourth quarter. But I don't think they're going to get away from the Packers system. He's an athletic kid. He throws well on the run. Obviously, he was picked high in the draft because the evaluators up there in Green Bay thought that this is a guy that they can bring in, sit behind Aaron Rodgers for a couple years, and then put him in the place that they all said he deserved a couple years ago. Now this is their opportunity. It's about what the Bears do defensively. It's about the system Matt Eberflus and Alan Williams have installed since they've been here. No matter what type of quarterback, what type of system you play, how well do you know your system? And even Brisker talked a little bit on his hits, how their communication, their understanding of the defense, the swag they have. That's what they got to play with, no matter who they're playing quarterback against, if it's Jordan Love week one or Baker Mayfield week two.
Or Patrick Mahomes week three.
Yeah, right? I didn't want to get to that. I'm only looking ahead 1 week.
I'll tell you what, we're going to break this thing down on Thursday, so make sure you check out our Bears Etc. podcast on Thursday. We'll do that every week of the season. This will be our preview. I'm going to call this an attitude game. Forget about everything else, because we always call it the great unknown. We don't know what either team's going to do, what they're going to lean on, but I want the Bears' attitude to be nasty. I want it to be just where you think a Chicago Bears team's attitude should be from the days gone by to what they future hope this team can be. I want them to be nasty. I want them to make smart decisions, error-free football, and just bring the heat. That's what I want. Offense, defense, attack, and make the Packers think, oh boy, they came to town and maybe they should have made this trip.
Yeah, they got to play relentlessly. They have the relentless style of defense where they're as physical of any matchups that they're going to face across the line of scrimmage from them. And then on the offense, they have to have that successful running game that they ended the season with last year, one of the tops in the league. Justin Fields has to do whatever he feels according to plan during the play that's called and how he sees the field open up. You got to have big catches from the DJ Moore, the Chase Claypool, the Cole Kmet. And you have to have an attitude, a relentless attitude of the offensive line that brings the physicalness of the offensive line that people remember after they play against you. And that's what, you know, Braxton Jones is not a young guy anymore. The only young guy they have on that offensive line is the right tackle.
Darnell Wright.
And it just reminds me of the saying from head equipment manager Tony Medlin, you only have 1 year to be young in the NFL. So Braxton, the young is behind you. Have that relentless style of play that we expect out of you.
Circling back to what the Packers might do. Okay, first of all, LaFleur loves tight ends. He's got two rookie ones now coming in, and they can run. He loves the running game. He's still got Aaron Jones, and he's still got A.J. Dillon. So, yep. I mean, Aaron Jones is the chess piece, and that's the guy they're going to lean on to help out that quarterback. It's a young skill position group now, but they have speed. Speed all over the field. That's what we'll focus on Thursday. But
let me tell you one thing about Green Bay when you talk about the running skills. Jordan Love is a better running quarterback than Aaron Rodgers. Okay. With all the greatness that Aaron has, and I've never denied that, and I've never said anything other than I think he's one of the top two or three best players in the NFL. However, if you look at the athleticism at the quarterback position at this point, Jordan Love is probably a better athlete than Aaron Rodgers.
And how come we could never put him on the ground? Why did he scramble just enough to get the first down? Why did he slip a tackle and get into the end zone?
Because he's one of the most talented visual quarterbacks that's ever played the game. And he knows exactly what he's going to do with the ball during his cadence. That may be where Jordan Love isn't successful as Aaron Rodgers was in the last 17 years. However, that's when the defense comes into play and you have to make him think until the ball is snapped.
Miller Lite, the official beer of the Chicago Bears. Tastes like Miller time, Chicago. Last Thursday night on Bears Weekly, Matt Eberflus looked at Justin Fields, said he's basically light years ahead in knowledge of the system. So let's go back. Week 2 at Green Bay, 27-10 loss. He was 7 of 11, 70 yards. Bears ran for 180. He threw a pick. He was sacked 3 times. He ran for only 20 yards on 8 attempts. Packers ran for 203. He performed a lot better in Week 13, 20 of 25, 254. No touchdowns, but he was picked twice. They had eyes on the quarterback throughout the game. Jair Alexander, Keyshawn Nixon, the slot with swipes. He ran for 61 and a touchdown, but the Bears had 3 turnovers in the game and no touchdown passes.
I feel better about the Bears personnel, but, you know, you lost me at 7 of 11, his first time around throwing the ball in Green Bay. When you talk about trying to play an interdivisional game against a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers and your quarterback only throws 11 passes, you will not win the game unless you rush for over 300 yards and you hold the ball for 37 or 38 minutes. So to me, whatever stat that you want to put next to Justin for his remaining times he ever plays Green Bay, if they ever go back to 7 of 11, it's almost a guaranteed loss. So I need to see Justin have that, give me 14 of 22. That means I'm doubling the attempts and I'm doubling the completions. And if you have a limited amount of passes in today's modern NFL, but if he is that successful and they have the combined running game and the success they've had last year at times, listen, then it's going to be a game that the Bears should win.
This is Eberflus on what the identity of this football team might be if he has a better feel.
I would say I feel better about the identity overall, just because of we're in the system one more year. The coaches are more familiar with the players, you know, the players that we have, you know, and bringing the new guys on, we bring in more experienced players. So I definitely feel more comfortable with that piece of it for sure.
Do you feel now what you've added, do you feel better about it?
Yeah, I would say that for sure. I mean, that's, we have acquired a lot of players, you know, and some good ones, you know, if you look at all both sides of the ball, you know, so we feel good about our players, and we're excited about the matchup, and we're excited about those guys being able to go against our rival.
Everybody remembers their first NFL game on Monday at the podium. Cody Whitehair snickered a bit when Larry Mayer of ChicagoBears.com asked him to go down memory lane because he was thrown into the mix to face an all-pro player with the Houston Texans at the time, Vince Wilfork. Here's the story.
Yeah, so back to that training camp. So I was playing guard the whole training camp. And like that Sunday, I think, before we opened up down at Houston, you know, I got a call. And, you know, we just signed Josh Sitton from Green Bay. And, you know, you don't know what to expect, you know. And so I picked up the phone and, you know, they were like, hey, we're going to move you to center. And I had played a little bit of center. I guess it's a Senior Bowl in practice, you know, but that was really kind of my first ever really snapping a ball against, you know, real live human beings. You know, so that was kind of an eye opener. And then to open the season against Vince Wilfork, you know, Hall of Fame guy, you know, that was quite the experience. So that was kind of my welcome to the NFL. But, you know, it ended up working out for me and, you know, got me to this point where I am today.
All right. So Cody is not saying, we're not saying who's playing center, who's not, if he can snap, if he can't snap. But that offensive line in general has not practiced, if I'm not mistaken, one time in pads together, the projected starting five. You think they can pull together?
Well, if Cody's not going to play left guard, then who is? So, you know, listen, we can assume a lot of different things when these players are up at the podium and they don't want to answer any questions. But to me, I assume Cody's going to play left guard. Lucas Patrick will play centers and Nate Davis, right guard, Braxton and Darnell. But chemistry development takes a while and it's never a finished product. It's something that as long as this group plays together, they will always be working on chemistry from one week to the next. And so there's veterans in there now, again, outside of Darnell Wright. So you have to take from the things that you've learned in the past. I have all the trust in the world in a guy like Cody, where Cody could be the guy that goes to the line of scrimmage and he makes every call for the offensive line. But I know Lucas can too. So I'm not worried about that. But it's just that the development of reps, the conversation on the sideline with Chris Morgan when they come off after a series, getting into your tablets on the sideline to make sure that everybody is seeing things correctly. And if they can do that and they can make sure that the running backs fulfill their responsibilities if they're blocking or if they're running the ball, then you know, you should be able to work your system well, because there's always the fear, the scare, and the threat of if you make one mistake and you open up, Justin Fields can turn and take it.
All right, I got to talk more about last week. We talked about Braxton Jones maybe not being talked about enough in terms of, you know, he's just a steady guy right now and getting better every day. You hear from Chris Morgan about that. He's not missed a snap of training camp practice nor a snap last season. And you said it's best we don't hear anything, right? But I got to give the guy credit. Cody Whitehair did today as well.
You know, the thing with Braxton is he's figured out his routine, you know, off the field. You know, through the week, he's, you know, kind of got it figured out. And then on the field, you know, just another year in the offense, you definitely see his confidence level, you know, has increased a little bit. You know, and he's playing really well right now. You know, so we're excited to see where that goes. And, you know, it's only going to get better.
Tom, how impressed are you with Braxton? And I know you alluded at the top of the show that he is no longer a young player, but just what is his ceiling here?
I mean, he has untapped potential. You know, we're not even seeing his ceiling. When he starts reaching that all-pro level, as a left tackle in the NFL from where he came from to where he's gone in such a short period of time. He doesn't miss practices. He's got the positive mental attitude every single day, which you need. It's got to be infectious in the locker room to some other guys that may be willy-nilly about not wanting to go out to practice because maybe, you know, they're not 100%. Because I guarantee you, there's games and there's practices last year that Braxton wasn't 100%, but he still went out there and did everything that's required of him to get better at the position. I love his silent leadership. I'm not looking for Braxton Jones to come out here and be a rah-rah type of guy and start leading cheers. I just want him to show up every single day with the attitude that he's shown us since he's been here so other guys, you know, become affected by his willingness, and it's got to spill over to these other guys, you know, and their willingness.
Which leads me to a discussion on Terrence Steele, the Dallas Cowboys. This is Bears Etc. with Tom Thayer, Jeff Joniak, Vizzy Hard Seltzer, the official hard seltzer of the Chicago Bears. All right, so Braxton was a fifth-round pick. We know that. Southern Utah. Terrence Steele was from Texas Tech. Undrafted player as the right tackle starter. He just got an extension this week, Tom, right before the open the season. And it's a whopper. It could be worth up to $91 million as an undrafted find. You're finding this more often than not at right tackle, and maybe that was the initial projection of where Braxton could wind up, but he's locked in at left tackle. Just think about what he's playing for here in the years to come.
You know, Steele probably played with the best quarterback he'll ever play with in college because wasn't that Patrick Mahomes at Texas Tech? So, you know, now you think of what he was able to perfect in college to be that protector and now what he's doing at the NFL level. So nothing's too big for him, but it's hard work. It's good work in the meeting room. It's good work in the weight room. You improve on the field. You're trusted. And that's why he's been rewarded with that type of contract. So, again, I guess I'm envious of the money just because it's not something that was offered to us during our day. However, I'm not jealous of him because if he didn't work hard and he's not a dedicated player, he wouldn't be earning that opportunity.
We're brought to you by PNC, official bank of the Bears. All right, this is heard around the league, Tommy. Some stuff going on this week. They're going to weigh in on a lot of things about the Green Bay Packers because no more Aaron Rodgers, but former Packer offensive lineman TJ Lang on the Pat McAfee Show. Quote, I think people writing off Green Bay is a mistake. And I would agree. I would agree because we don't know. We just don't know. They do have veteran and offensive line. They have a veteran defense. They have veteran special teams. But they've made a lot of change that we'll break down on Thursday. But what do you think of that statement?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a preseason type of a statement because there's so much uncertainty within the division because right now everybody is betting on the Detroit Lions, you know, competing for the Super Bowl. And that's an uncertainty also. And they have Justin Fields and the MVP, one of the top runners of the MVP. And it could happen, but we don't know how, you know, that's all going to pan out. So, you know, if I got done playing for the Chicago Bears and I was on a podcast like that, I would be as complimentary of my ex-team as I could possibly be. So I don't think he can go to sleep on them. But look, you can't go to sleep on any of the teams in this division.
Peter King, Sunday Night Football, playoff predictions for the NFC. He has Detroit and Green Bay both finishing 10-7 in the playoffs. Detroit is a 3 seed behind San Francisco, Philly. He's got Atlanta, Dallas, Seattle, and Green Bay to round out the top 7. Just give me some quick hitters. What are your thoughts?
Atlanta? What the hell is that about?
I mean, they got the easiest schedule in the NFL, they say.
Well, I don't know how talented they are. So we'll see how that all works itself out. But all these, you know, Jeff, you're a guy that makes no preseason predictions at all.
No, I don't.
And so I should be asking you what you think about. You know, I'm a 17-0 Bears guy. Yeah. So I think, you know, Super Bowl all the way. And until, you know, like you always say, the first week of the NFL season is the great unknown. And then, you know, things are a lot different week two. So let's hold off on all the predictions and see what happens after some of these guys play a couple games when, you know, Trey Lance was anointed the boy wonder in San Francisco. Oh, yeah. He played a couple games. He got injured and now he's a Dallas Cowboy. So I think there's a lot of great unknown before the NFL season starts, and that's the greatest thing about it.
DJ Reed is a cornerback for the New York Jets, veteran, on a Zoom with reporters saying the Jets defense can be historical, as good as the 85 Bears. Now, the Jets were ranked fourth in the NFL in points allowed, fourth in defense, yardage allowed a year ago. How does that sit with a former Bear from 85?
You know, luckily the guys from the 85 team got to play with one of the best offensive lines in the history of the NFL. And there is so much uncertainty about the New York Jets offensive line, even though they anointed Mekel Becton the starting right tackle. For as great as this guy was in college and as big as he hasn't been on the field to stay healthy. So if you get a revolving door offensive line for the New York Jets, it's going to be hard for that defense to be as good as the 85 Bears, because we held the ball for 36 minutes on average per game, or 35 minutes on average per game. So time of possession has a lot to do with how good your defense can be. So
Are you good with the bravado?
Yeah,
who cares, right? It's just fun.
Right, it is bravado. But, you know, the thing about it is, if in week three you're starting Zach Wilson, you can take all that bravado and say, what the hell did we just sign a 39-year-old quarterback for? So, you know, you gotta wait this thing out a little bit.
Game day snacking calls for good foods, chunky guacamole made with Hass avocados, tomatoes, onions, cilantro, and a squeeze of lime juice. It's the perfect snack to watch while the Bears win. Score some today at your local grocery store. Game day is guac day. I'm sure you crafted up something good for the Labor Day weekend. Give me something on the dining room table that you enjoyed this weekend. Or off the barbecue, one of the two.
Well, ribs were a part of it.
Okay.
Yes, and my next door neighbor and I made some ribs, got them at the store, pre-boiled them, put them on the Weber grill to finish them off, a little baked potato, corn on the cob, and so...
Why don't I ever get these invites?
You don't even return my messages.
What are you talking about?
I text messaged you 3 or 4 days ago, and you didn't return my message, and all you did is you tell me about what our schedule is coming up. So I don't want to hear anything about it.
All right. We did watch a lot of college football, and I was so tempted to text you a lot during these games. Didn't want to bug you on your holiday weekend, Tom. Did you watch the entire or most of the Colorado game?
The whole thing.
Okay. Were you not entertained from start to finish?
First of all, I watched the pregame or the speech during the week that Michael Irvin gave his players. And he did a really nice job of talking reality about the commitment that these guys need to have if they ever want to be considered winners without playing a game. And I like Dion's way he speaks to the players, that they have to be committed as much as he's committed. And so I didn't know if they could go and beat TCU at TCU, but they gave incredible effort. They were an exciting football team. The first play of the game, it was a big, easy gainer, the first pass. And then they had a kid play 126 snaps.
Well, they're saying now, some say it was 144 in 100-degree heat.
However many it was, the kid was impressive, and his willingness, his commitment, his desire, how great he is on both sides of the football, and Dion telling us about this young man the whole time, and then Dion's son throwing for 510 yards in the game and transferring from the last college he was at and to Colorado and go down there. Listen, man, if you believe, you can achieve. And I think that was one of the things that I really took note of when I watched that game.
87 transfers. He pulled them together and knocked off a national championship finalist. It was incredible. Travis Hunter, by the way, is a sophomore. He caught 11 balls for 119 yards. He also had an interception and forced three other incompletions. And after the game, they asked him if he was tired. He goes, no, I'd like to go play a little more. I love the youthful exuberance, but the belief, those guys are walking tall today. It was one game. It was an impressive game, and I am impressed. There's oftentimes that Dion can drive me nuts with his thoughts, but I got to give him a lot of credit for what he pulled off.
You know, listen, there's also a lot that goes in a young college football team that's traveling from Colorado to Texas. You get off that plane, it's 100 and something degrees, and you got to make sure that you keep all these guys tied together. That's a, you know, there's a lot of accomplishment in that and traveling for your first game. Now they're going to be at home in Colorado to play Nebraska. That stadium is going to be insane.
Yeah, yes, it will. All right. Some other observation. Florida State LSU. Did you catch that on Sunday night?
I couldn't get over how many punts they are dropping, you know, and I
punts,
know, you know,
passes, Brian, punts and passes, but
yeah, but they had three different punt returners drop four different punts.
Right.
You know, and Brian Kelly, he is a politician, and he's going out there and complimenting the head coach from the other team and telling him how good he looks and, oh, you look in great shape and all that kind of stuff. And I know that's just pregame coach talk, but
here's my takeaway.
Whatever message he was trying to develop, it didn't sink in.
Here's my takeaway from all these games. I mean, I watched USC. I watched Ohio State, Indiana. I watched Notre Dame, Tennessee, Oklahoma. Caught some of that. Boise State and Washington. The bottom line of all this is the athleticism is fantastic right now in college football at the skill position and at quarterback and edge rushers and cornerbacks. This Jared Verse from Florida State is outstanding coming off the edge, and he allows other players to make plays. He didn't need to make many because there's so much occupying him. That guy's a first-round pick next year. This Keon Coleman, who caught three touchdown passes, Florida State. Johnny Wilson, he's 6'7", 237, a receiver. Dropped a few, but my takeaway is this. If you think there are not great players about ready to come back into the NFL, they're pouring in this college game right now. And the Bears' style of offense, I know we want that passer to trigger from the pocket, but the mobility and what it creates – getting guys on the move, as long as you can throw and complete on the run, is at an all-time high right now.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch this college football season. I think that transfer quarterback that went to Notre's give is going to give these guys an offensive life.
Sam Hartman?
To me, he's one of the most efficient quarterbacks that's been there probably in the last 8 or 9 years. I'm interested to see how this offense develops with him. And, you know, if Notre Dame can do anything because of him.
Do you love the idea that Texas State beat Baylor 42-31.
I do. Did you see the one-handed catch by the kid? I mean, insane. Just an amazing catch on every highlight reel for the rest of his career. And, yeah, I like the unknowns getting beat. But as much as I like the unknowns beating teams like Baylor, I mean, Georgia playing Mercer and these other schools.
Even
Notre Dame playing Tennessee State and all these other –
well, it happens every year. It does.
I know, but with the college football and the way it is nowadays with all these conferences that are being disintegrated, they should be playing opponents. And then if they want to have, this is a payday for these smaller schools, then you know what? Give them money. Yeah. Next week, what is it, Youngstown State going to Ohio State?
Oklahoma shut out Arkansas State 73-0. Right. Butch Jones, the head coach, he was crying on the sideline. That's how punishing that was. But the Oregon 81-7 win over Portland State. Did you see this? The duck, the mascot, the popular mascot, the duck. He wound up doing 546 push-ups in between all that scoring. 546 push-ups for the duck. He was petered out, Tommy. He had nothing left.
Going to get some big triceps. You know, poor Neil Lomax. The last guy that went to Portland State to put those guys on the map, when you got to sit there and look at a game like that, it's ridiculous.
Score huge savings on an impressive lineup of items at Jewel Osco. For you, this handy app features hot digital deals on everything from premium produce and savory snacks to butcher fresh meat and more. Get additional details at jewelosco.com. That's going to wrap us up. Back with you Thursday on Bears Etc. with our first detailed game breakdown of the season. Bears, Packers, Bears Weekly this week, 6 o'clock on ESPN 1000 on Thursday. Scheduled to chat with the legendary ESPN announcer and Tom Thayer golfing buddy, Chris Berman. Is that locked in? Are we ready to roll there?
Yes. That's right. My mentor. That's my buddy. That guy has talked me off of more golf ledges than you can possibly, than a negotiator.
All right. Good show, Tom. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your day. And thank you for listening, everybody. Please subscribe now on the Chicago Bears official app, Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. For Tom Thayer, I'm Jeff Joniak. That's Bears Etc.